The following program is brought to you by Audio Journal, a radio reading service intended for a print-impaired audience. Material is selected with the interest of its audience in mind, with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, its staff, or volunteer readers. Welcome all to Audio Journal's Poets' Corner, the program that offers its print-impaired audience and other listeners the opportunity to listen to poetry of people from all walks of life, of those from the distant past right up to the present day. This production is brought to you in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind. I'm George Blomquist, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading poetry from the pens of poets such as Heather Swan, Natasha Trethewey, Ted Kooser, and Joseph Millar, to name but a few. They and others are found in the superb anthology titled The Path to Kindness, Poems of Connection and Joy, edited by James Cruz. In his introduction to this anthology, Cruz reminds us that, quote, "By showing us all the ways we can still practice being together, these poems encourage us to capture and hold onto the moments that matter the most to us in life. Many of the poems included here also model for us the ways that we might let ourselves surrender more fully to joy." End quote. So, with that said, let us now begin our program with the poem titled Bowl by Heather Swan, which is dedicated to her mother. It reads, "From the mud in her hands, the bowl was born, opening like a flower in an arch of petals, then becoming a vessel, both empty and full. Later, in the kiln, it was ravaged by fire, its surface etched and vitrified, searing the glaze into glass as its body turned to stone. It is at the edge of damage that beauty is honed, and in Japan, the potter tells me, when a tea bowl cracks in the fire, that crack is filled with gold." About this poem, editor James Cruz writes, "The practice Heather Swan refers to in the last stanza of Bowl is called kintsugi, which in Japanese means literally golden joinery. Yet this drive to highlight the cracks in something, what some might call its failures, goes against the message most of us receive throughout our lives, that we should be striving for perfection. We are each born of such humble materials, from the mud, as it were, and are then sent into the fires of life, with little protection, often to be ravaged, etched, and vitrified. We are then, oddly enough, encouraged to hide all evidence of past pain, to conceal our scars and the markings that can render us kinder and more compassionate people. Eventually, we come to see, as Swan puts it so well, quote, it is at the edge of damage that beauty is honed, end quote. It is by risking brokenness that we grow stronger, a vessel both empty and full, made more true by its so-called flaws. Instead of covering up cracks or pretending they don't exist, this poem implies we can flaunt them like gold for all the world to see." Up next, Housekeeping by Natasha Trethewey. "We mourn the broken things, chair legs wrenched from their seats, chipped plates, and the threadbare clothes. We work the magic of glue, drive the nails, mend the holes. We save what we can, melt small pieces of soap, gather fallen pecans, keep neck bones for soup. Beating rugs against the house, we watch dusts, lit like stars, spreading across the yard. Late afternoon, we draw the blinds to cool the rooms, drive the bugs out. My mother irons, singing, lost in reverie. I mark the pages of a mail-order catalog, listen for passing cars. All day we watch for the mail, some news from a distant place. Natasha Trethewey's first collection of poetry, Domestic Work, Greywood Press, 2000, was selected by Rita Dove as the winner of the inaugural Cave Canem Poetry Prize. She is also the author of Monument, Poems New and Selected, from Houghton Mifflin Press, 2018. In 2012, Trethewey was named both the State Poet Laureate of Mississippi and the 19th U.S. Poet Laureate by the Library of Congress. Trethewey is the Board of Trustees Professor of English at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. Our next poem pines for the days of yesteryear, when family members kept in touch with one another, especially around Christmas time, by way of the written word. It's titled Round Robin Letter by Ted Kooser. They've all spun down, wobbled, and fallen still in this digital age, those lost merry-go-rounds of a whole family's news, each recipient, brother and sister, cousin or aunt, adding a page or two written in ballpoint, addressing a fresh envelope, licking the stamps and mailing it on, plenty of time between stops to collect something to say, then to carefully offer it up in the school blackboard cursive. A nephew who liked his new job. A chestnut foal born with a diamond-shaped patch on its nose. A good neighbor who had been found in his barn had been buried in rain. Each envelope fattened on gossip and family news, then sent on its way, an event for the next addressee, something special to find in the box by the road, then to carry back, place on the table, and wait, not to be opened till part of your part of the family was there. The 13th U.S. Poet Laureate, from 2004 to 2006, Ted Kooser is a retired life insurance executive who lives on acreage near the village of Garland, Nebraska, with his wife, Kathleen Rutledge. His collection, Delights and Shadows, was awarded the Pulitzer Prize in Poetry in 2005. His poems have appeared in The Atlantic, The Hudson Review, The Antioch Review, The Kenyon Review, and dozens of other literary journals. He is the author most recently of Kindness Regards, New and Selected Poems, 2018, and Red Stilts, 2020, both from Copper Canyon Press. Here's a similarly themed verse titled Mailman by Sally Bliumas Dunn. Each day the mailman rides to a dutiful stop, slides his hand into the small aluminum tunnel of our mailbox. I wonder if the air feels differently than it did a few years back, all the emails zipping past him like no-see-ums. Sometimes I miss seeing someone's script make its way across the envelope with the sure sense of the steady straight line, and then unfolding the letter, the slight shadows from the creases as I read it, reminding me, for a moment, of who had folded and tucked the letter into the envelope, sealed it with their tongue, and carried it to a mailbox, where it sat, with all the other letters, in a long silence that could have lasted for days. Sally Bliumas Dunn's poems have appeared in On the Seawall, Paris Review, Prairie Schooner, Plume, Poetry London, The New York Times, PBS NewsHour, Upstreet, Poem A Day, and Ted Kooser's column, among others. In our next poem, life can still be a lonely experience, despite our modern means of communication. It's titled Telephone Repairman by Joseph Millar. All morning in the February light, he has been mending cable, splicing the pairs of wires together according to their colors, white-blue to white-blue, violet-slate to violet-slate, in the warehouse attic by the river. When he is finished, the messages will flow along the line. Thank you for the gift. Please come to the baptism. The bill is now past due. Voices that flicker and gleam back and forth across the tracer-colored wires. We live so much of our lives without telling anyone, going out before dawn, working all day by ourselves, shaking our heads in silence at the news on the radio. He thinks of the many signals flying in the air around him, the syllables fluttering, saying, "Please love me," from continent to continent, over the curve of the earth. Joseph Millar is the author of 6 books of poetry, including Dark Harvest, New and Selected Poems, Carnegie Mellon University Press, 2021, and Overtime, Eastern Washington University Press, 2001, which was a finalist for the Oregon Book Award. He is the recipient of fellowships from the Guggenheim Foundation and the National Endowment for the Arts, and teaches in the MFA programs at North Carolina State and Pacific University. Enjoying those fleeting, seemingly inconsequential moments in one's life is explored in The News of Love by David Graham. The squirrel on our maple flicks its tail, our dog at the window watching steadily. Love is steady, too, and sturdy. Like a 1,000-year-old tree, they built the house around it. But dumb love's fun, too. Like the baby laughing non-stop whenever you rip some paper. You feel love more than see it, like the wind on your face. But don't take my word for it. Look instead at the shoreline pines, how they all lean one direction, even when there's no wind. Most recent of David Graham's 7 collections of poetry is The Honey of Earth, Terrapin Books, 2019. Others include Stutter Monk, Flume Press, and Second Wind, Texas Tech University Press. He co-edited with Tom Montag the poetry anthology Local News, Poetry All About Small Towns, MWPH Books, 2019. And with Kate Sontag, the essay anthology After Confession, Poetry as Confession, Gray Wolf Press, 2001. He lives in Glen Falls, New York. In the following verse, the poet speaks of the oneness with nature in Arctic Night, Lights Across the Sky by Linda Hogan. It reads, "We are curved together, body to body, cell to cell, arm over another. The world is the bed for the cold night, one cat curled in the bend of a knee, dog at the feet, my hand in yours. We are embraced in animal presence, warmth, the sea outside, sounding winter waves, one arriving after another from the mystery far out. Where, in the depths of the sea, are other beings that create their own light, this world all one heartbeat." Linda Hogan is a Chickasaw poet, novelist, essayist, playwright, teacher, and activist who has spent most of her life in Oklahoma and Colorado. Her fiction has garnered many honors, including a Pulitzer Prize nomination, and her poetry collections have received the American Book Award, the Colorado Book Award, and a National Book Critics Circle nomination. Her latest book is A History of Kindness, Torrey House Press, 2020. Up next, The Dogs at Live Oak Beach, Santa Cruz, by Alicia Ostreicher. As if there could be a world of absolute innocence in which we forget ourselves, the owners throw sticks and half-balled tennis balls toward the surf, and the happy dogs leap after them as if catapulted. Black dogs, tan dogs, tubes of glorious muscle, pursuing pleasure more than obedience, they race, skid to a halt in the wet sand. Sometimes they'll plunge straight into the foaming breakers like diving birds, letting the green turbulence toss them until they snap and sink teeth into floating wood, then bound back to their owners, shining wet with passionate speed for nothing, for absolutely nothing but joy. Alicia Ostreicher is Professor Emerita of English at Rutgers University and a faculty member of Drew University's Low Residency Poetry MFA program. In 2018, she was named New York State Poet by Governor Andrew Cuomo. Ostreicher served as Chancellor of the Academy of American Poets from 2015 to 2021. She lives in New York City. Continuing with the theme of our canine friends' impact on our lives, here's the poem, Rescue Dog, by Nancy Gordon. It reads, Jake comes into sight, 10 pounds of whirling golden fur, legs and feet a blur, released from his leash to greet me, racing toward me. Eyes dark pools, shining, ears flapping with his running and jumping, up into my arms, onto my shoulder, his body close to my chest, my heart. Tongue lapping everywhere, doggy kisses, says my friend, who lets me share walks with him. Quick breaths, his heart pounding, his body warm and flexible as a gymnast's. He drinks water from my hands. He walks us. He explores the scents, the grass, all that he can reach from his reach-attached leash. He and my friend debate the boundaries. When I have to leave, I turn to watch them go. And Jake turns, looks back again, crooks his head. Where are you going? Aren't you coming with us? Nancy Gordon grew up in the Adirondacks, her true home, then taught English in New Jersey for years, including a year on exchange in New Zealand. A midlife marriage and move were followed by law school and years of law practice. She and her husband have returned home to the Adirondacks, and she now has more time for poetry, always an important part of her life. Next, New York Downpour, by Dan Butler. The night sky cracked open on us full force, a deluge, a drench, and laughing, arms around one another, we soaked it up like a couple of Gene Kellys, stomping, singing, not even a twinge of an urge to run, just pure revel, hummingbird joy, as lightning flashed, capturing the moment. Soon the storm grew tired of scaring us off the streets and subsided into grumpy rumblings while we splashed our way through the puddles from West End Avenue through Riverside Park all the way to the edge of the Hudson. Dan Butler is known primarily as an actor whose credits include major roles on and off Broadway, on television, and in film, where he has also written, directed, and produced. In 2011, Dan adapted and directed a screen version of Poet Laureate Ted Kooser's verse poem, Pearl, starring Frances Sternhagen and himself, which had a great life on the film festival circuit. New York Downpour, Max Dan's first published poem. The following poem relates the joy of a tired dad after a long day's work in the city. It's titled, After Work, by Richard Jones. Coming up from the subway into the cool Manhattan evening, I feel rough hands on my heart. Women in the market yelling over rows of tomatoes and peppers. Old men sitting on a stoop playing cards. Cabbies cursing each other with fists, while the music of church bells sails over the street, and the father, angry and tired after working all day, embracing his little girl, kissing her, mi vida, mi corazón, brushing the hair out of her eyes so she can see. Richard Jones's 16 books include Apropos for Nothing, Copper Canyon Press, 2006, The Correct Spelling and Exact Meaning, Copper Canyon Press, 2010, and Stranger on Earth, also Copper Canyon Press, 2018. For 40 years, he has edited the literary journal Poetry East and curated its many anthologies, including Origins, The Last Believer in Words, and Bliss. He is professor of English at DePaul University in Chicago. Up next, Abundance to Share with the Birds, by Andrea Potos. Another early morning in front of the bathroom mirror, my daughter making faces at herself while I pull back her long brown hair, gathering the breath and shine in my hands, brushing and smoothing before weaving the braid she will wear to school for the day. Afterwards, stray strands nestle in the brush, and because nothing of beauty is ever wasted, I pull them out, stand on the front porch, and let them fly. Andrea Potos is the author of several poetry collections, including Marrow of Summer, Kelsey Books, Mother Shell, Kelsey Books, and Yaya's Cloth, Iris Press. Her poems most recently appeared in Spirituality and Health magazine, Poetry East, The Sun, Braided Way, and How to Love the World, Poems of Gratitude and Hope. Andrea lives in Madison, Wisconsin. Here's a touching and thought-provoking exchange between father and daughter in Mimesis, by Fadi Judah. My daughter wouldn't hurt a spider that had nested between her bicycle handles. For 2 weeks, she waited until it left on its own accord. If you tear down the web, I said, it will simply know this isn't a place to call home, and you'd get to go biking. She said, that's how others become refugees, isn't it? Fadi Judah is a Palestinian-American physician, poet, and translator. He was born in Austin, Texas, but grew up in Libya and Saudi Arabia. Judah's debut collection of poetry, The Earth in the Attic, 2008, won the 2007 Yale Series of Younger Poets Competition, chosen by Louise Gluck. Judah lives with his family in Houston, where he serves as a physician of internal medicine. Dealing with and surviving the countless vicissitudes of life is struck upon here in our next poem, Kindness, by Naomi Shihab Nye. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go, so you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness. How you ride and ride, thinking the bus will never stop. The passengers, eating maize and chicken, will stare out the window forever. Before you learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of the road. You must see how this could be you, how he, too, was someone who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore. Only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to mail letters and purchase bread. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, "It is I you have been looking for," and then goes with you everywhere like a shadow or a friend. We now conclude our program with the poem "Mercy" by Rudy Francisco. It reads, "She asks me to kill the spider. Instead, I get the most peaceful weapons I can find. I take a cup and a napkin. I catch the spider, put it inside, and allow it to walk away. If I am ever caught in the wrong place at the wrong time, just being alive and not bothering anyone, I hope I am greeted with the same kind of mercy." Rudy Francisco is one of the most recognizable names in spoken word poetry. He was born, raised, and still resides in San Diego, California. As an artist, Rudy Francisco is an amalgamation of social critique, introspection, honesty, and humor. He uses personal narratives to discuss the politics of race, class, gender, and religion, while simultaneously pinpointing and reinforcing the interconnected nature of human existence. He is the author of "I'll Fly Away," Button Poetry, 2020. You've been listening to Poets' Corner, a production of Audio Journal, proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you have any comments or suggestions for Poets' Corner, please let us know by calling us at 508-797-1117 or by emailing us at info@audiojournal.org or by mailing us directly at Audio Journal, 799 West Boylston Street, Worcester, Massachusetts, 01606. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or you can go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm George Blomquist, thanking you for listening. And now, stay tuned for other local programming brought to you by Audio Journal.
What's your vision?
My vision is 20/200.
Light perception in the right eye and zero vision in the left eye.
20/200 at best on my left eye, and on my right eye, I cannot see.
No, I mean, what's your vision?
My goal is to become a journalist.
To be able to work.
Financial independence.
My vision is employment opportunities for all, including people with disabilities.
My vision is for all of my students to dream big.
That he become fully independent.
For my patients to live their best lives.
What's your vision?
What's your vision?
What is your vision?
At the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind, our vision is clear. We believe that all people who are blind or visually impaired should have the opportunity to work and thrive. To learn how we can help you meet your employment or workforce goals, call 800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/.